Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Tuesday, October 22nd, kind of a cloudy gray day here in central PA, so come on in, hang with us for a bit. News Radio 1070 WKOK, I'm Sean Carey. In just a moment, Steve checks in from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. You can also find us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle @stevejonespsu, and subscribe to our podcast. It is free on the Apple Podcast app and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. After the shows are live here on WKOK, we can drop them into your smartphone and tablet, take them with you, listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you can also catch at least 3 months' worth of previous shows. We've got them archived at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5. Then we'll have our late-day news roundup with Matt Cotrillo. Tonight, World Series, Game 1. Tasty matchup between Garrett Cole and Max Scherzer. And the NBA starts tonight.
Jesse Doherty from the Washington Post is going to join us. Talk about the World Series.
Love
Jesse covering.
Yeah.
He'll join us from Houston. So there you go. So we'll join. He'll be joining us from Houston to talk about that. We'll have Neil Coulong tomorrow. Will Team and Michigan State Network coming up today. Let's see. And then tomorrow, Neil.
We also got Brandon Lee Gouton from Bleeding Green.
Brandon Lee Gouton.
Yeah, BleedingGreenNation.com. Talk some Eagles with Brandon tomorrow.
And right now, they are bleeding.
Ooh,
that was a brutal performance on Sunday night.
Well, at least the Jets topped them last night. So
I'm sitting there. I only watched a few minutes. It was a bad game that was not well done either.
I watched zero. I watched none of last night's game.
Okay. I was actually watching when he said the part about ghosts. I thought I was on.
I actually checked Twitter once or twice before going to bed, and I saw, I was tempted to catch a little video on my phone just to hear if I could pick it up. But yeah, I guess the Jets organization now, I guess, not all that happy with the four-letter network that hot mic picked that up.
Oh, the four-letter network's just trying to get viewers for. Seriously, that's not a good broadcast, and it's not a, you know, I mean, they got a lot of problems. They're having bad games, and, you know, just the way it is. All right. But I did think of Chris Elio last night.
I was tempted to text him, but it's like, nah, that's just low-hanging fruit.
There's no need to pile on. I told him on the show directly to his face. You know me. I'll say it right to their face.
Yeah, well, you're a straight shooter.
I said, your team's bad.
You told him that weeks ago, so that softened the blow last night, I hope, in his case.
Man, I would hope in his case he sat back and, you know, I don't need to hear that, quote, I was right. I just need him to sit back and go, you know what, I was forewarned. Your team, awful.
Oof.
Okay. I mean, they are, I mean, J-E-T-S-B-A-D. All right, so
Tell you another team that's bad is the Atlanta Falcons. I'm surprised that the head coach is still there. And what happens when Mohamed Sanu wakes up this morning? He's no longer a Falcon. He goes to New England.
Oh, he's at the airport. He was the happiest guy at Hartsfield this morning. I'm going to the Patriots. I'm getting out of here.
Springboard out of bed. Bye-bye.
They couldn't get him that plane ticket fast enough. Could you FedEx it? He'll be waiting for me at the counter, correct?
By the way, another NFL trade today. What we should stress, though, the NFL deadline is next Tuesday at 4, not
yes,
today. But we just found out a little bit ago that a former Pittsburgh Steeler and now former Denver Bronco wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, he is going to the San Francisco 49ers.
Right. That was expected.
Yeah, and Denver is going to get a third and a fourth round 2020 pick. The 49ers will get Emmanuel Sanders and a Denver fifth round pick next year.
All right, so what are we seeing? This is what we're seeing right now in the NFL. The NFL for years was the team where, remember when Eric Dickerson got traded by the Rams to the Colts? How earth-shattering it was because, A, it was a big name like Dickerson, but, B, like in midseason, a team in the NFL made a trade and made a trade of that magnitude. In baseball, it had been commonplace, and the NBA had been commonplace, even the NHL had been commonplace, but not the NFL. Well, the last couple of years, that's changed. Why is that? All right, so let's take it from the coaching and the management point of view. What is the word that they value more than anything else? They value trust more than anything else. Which players can I trust? Well, you make a trade where you deal draft picks to get an established player because the established player has a track record that you trust. The drafted player, who at this point you don't know who it's going to be, has no track record. So you're dealing the potential of the track record for a known entity track record. So the Rams feel they're better off with Jalen Ramsey, known track record. The Patriots probably feel better off with Mohamed Sanu, known track record. And the Patriots could care less about their second-round pick. Really? I mean, the Patriots do better in free agency or in the sixth round. Hee-hee. Get the joke? There we go. Brady was a sixth-round pick. So the second-round pick, take the second-round pick. They could care less. Because they're going for the known entity. Emmanuel Sanders, in this case, let's take the Broncos. The Broncos aren't going anywhere, so the draft capital is going to be more important to them than the known entity. Conversely, for the contender, the known entity is more valuable than the draft pick. That's why you're seeing more trades. It's like with you. I trust you. I wouldn't trade you for anybody.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do we know yet how Thursday's playing out?
Oh, we're back.
Is this the last week of the regular season?
Sure is. Week 10, yeah. Yeah.
Now, are they all going to make the playoffs?
Yes. Yeah, Columbia Montorvo Tech lost out over the weekend, so that'll be the odd team out in District 4 Quad A. So, looks like it's going to be, unless something earth-shattering happens on Friday night, you'll have Midwest at Jersey Shore, and you'll have Shikellamy at Seawins Grove on November 1st. That'll be the District 4 Quad A semifinals.
Wait till you hear the intro to that game.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah. He's probably already writing it.
Nah, I think he's thinking that far ahead.
I think he's just trying to survive today.
Yes, he is. He's just talking to a client in the hall as I was walking down the hall to come in here and get the show going. So,
did the client know who he was? All right, so these are just, look, I'm a simple man with simple questions.
That's right. We're an inquiring mind here, and we want to know.
I'm just a simple man with simple questions. I just was wondering.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal.
Not at all.
It's, you know. I just don't want the client walking away saying, who was that guy?
We will have the law firm of Showers, Wetzel, and Ritchie on Thursday. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they've been winning ever since we went with Ritchie.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. The other guy brought with him despair.
Well, you got Milton Shikellamy on Friday. Selwyn's Grove travels up to Montoursville. And then the battle for the Little Brown Jug, Lewisburg at Mifflinburg, Friday night on 100.9 oh, okay. The Valley.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Love it. Okay. Got a lot going on. And we have a lot going on the show today. Jesse Doherty from Houston is going to join us today. We'll also hear part of James Franklin's press conference today to get you ready for Michigan State, which will be Saturday at 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock. Jack and I had a long phone conversation about that today, going up there to play them. Look, the front four is very good. The Panasonic brothers, Kenny Willekes, Raekwon Williams, that's good front four. Joe Bocci, the middle linebacker, really good player. Now, Thompson's a good linebacker. I think Simmons is a good linebacker. Bocci's a cut above. He's a good player. And I think Josiah Scott is a really good corner. They go to offense. Stewart is a tall receiver that Penn State will have to contend with. And Cody White is a versatile receiver. Their tight ends are good, but maybe not to the level they've had before. Their offensive line is okay. As you know, with them, the problem has been injuries over the years with their offensive line, because when they've kept people together, they've had high draft picks on that offensive line. And then Lewerk and Elijah Collins is the running back. They do have a backup, Williams, that plays a few plays, but that's it. And then there's Lewerke, who's a wild card. He 2 years ago, he was tremendous against Penn State. Last year, he didn't play as well, but he did make some plays when it counted in the fourth quarter. But for the most part, they did a good job of controlling him. As in fact, Penn State just couldn't score enough points against them last year. Now Penn State's going to play him again. And look, you know, the game's going to be out there. Weather's supposed to be nice on Saturday, which is good. And Coughlin, the kicker, the punter, Hartbarger, is really good. Really good. And Coughlin normally is really good, except outside of 40 this year, he's 4 of 8. I've been a little surprised at his inconsistency there, because over the years he's been a reasonably consistent kicker. So that's your thumbnail of Michigan State, which had a bye week, so they've had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. He was just outlining to me our play-by-play calls of the day.
Yes, more than one.
Yes. Approved by middle management.
A triple shot.
In fact, begged for by middle management.
Oh, that part I wasn't aware of. Okay.
Oh, you don't think he's not sitting there going, oh, it's my moment. Don't you think?
Oh, it could be like, it's sunny in my office today.
Yeah, that's okay. The rest of us are under a dark cloud because of it. All right, so...
I'm glad the game's in Houston tonight and not in D.C. There may be a threat of rain down there, I would think, today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to be poured on there. But in Houston, they're going to play the game regardless of retractable roof. So either way, you're in good.
Yeah, not one, but two great pitching matchups. And you go to game two, ooh, then you got Verlander versus Steven Strasburg then for game two.
Yeah, I know.
Before it heads to D.C. for the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be very interesting.
I would think
that's
that
makes
Washington's
that's what makes the
yeah they got to swipe one from Houston to just make this thing interesting. What you think?
Yeah, I think so. But they got the pitching to do it. It's not like they don't, because they do. James, I guess, took Harbaugh. They're saying that there was Harbaugh suggested a penalty disparity following the game. Harbaugh said it would be interesting comparing some of the different scenarios in the game in terms of calls, and noted a few pass interference, no whistles in the final moments. James said today, he says, the thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to come in here after a game and talk about penalties and the impact they have on a game. The officials have a tough job. Each week there are going to be calls our opponent doesn't like, and there's going to be calls that we don't like. I'm going to handle it through the process that the Big Ten has to be able to communicate one-on-one, but I'm not going to come into a press conference. I haven't really done that in 6 years. I'm not going to try to avoid doing that. I'm going to try and avoid doing that and be respectful of the process of the officials, but I also think it sends the wrong message to my team. I'm not going to come in and talk about calls or officials. Harbaugh's been complaining about a lot of calls or no calls in the Penn State game. That's all right. The officials didn't tell him to go for a 58-yard field goal either with a kicker whose career long is 43, but that's okay. I don't think the officials took any role in that. He made that decision all by himself. To be honest with you, that decision, Jack and I looked at each other, what is he doing? And when he called the timeout, we thought, okay, you know, they'll think better of it. And he ran it back out again. Right? And I said specifically on the broadcast, his career long is 43. I mean, the ball was at the 20-yard line coming down. I said the ball's going to be short. Okay. And that's why, you know, it's like, I mean, James originally put K.J. Hamler back there. Then he took him out because guess what? I mean, to be honest with you, if he misses it, you're going to get the ball at the 41. So why bother putting a guy back there to return it? It wasn't the actual end of the half, so why not? Officials didn't tell him to do that now, did they? Everybody makes decisions that aren't quite right. Everybody does. To be honest with you, I'm leaning more and more toward fewer replays. I just think they're delaying. I'm talking about every game I watch. Every game I watch, I feel like there's too many stoppages. I think all of us have wanted the stoppage of the key play that had the potential to determine the outcome of the game. But every time you turn around, there's a stoppage for this, a stoppage for that. You know, basketball, last 2 minutes, stop, because the stakes are so high and winning and losing and the games are close. I understand it. But boy, you just feel like it's killing the replay in some ways. You feel like it's killing the flow of the game. And the part about replay that really bothers me is that there's such a desire to get perfection. Did it hit a fingernail? Boy. James Franklin, part of his press conference next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's a glorious day out there, isn't it? Really, it's incredible. Sean was telling us there's nothing but sunshine in Sunbury. No?
Well, it was one specific office here in the building.
Yeah, normally, I look at that office, I think of sunset. All right, so...
That's true. They can be beautiful too, though.
When Jamie had the office, you felt like it was sunshine. All right, so
right.
Now it's like, okay. It's like, you want to go back there? No, not really. All right, so. Oh my goodness! Yeah, it still has two offices, huh?
Yes. Oh, how about this? So I'm leaving last night, and. He left the light on and the door open in his original office, okay. not the office that he could be moving into.
Sure.
So I just texted him to let him know that I turned out the light and locked the door for him.
No, that's okay. It's not the first time we turned out the light for him. All right, so Been concerned about that pilot light for years. Are the jokes that easy? I just want to know. Is it that easy? I just want to know.
It's a buffet. Just keep them coming. Smorgasbord.
It's a buffet.
Unlimited.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do this week. Is Jack bought dinner at Maryland. I bought dinner at Iowa.
Iowa, that's right. You did say that was your turn. Okay.
All right. Mm. Roger hasn't opened his wallet in 30 years. So that's out.
Huh, the future XFL quarterback of the New York Guardians? Is it next man up, maybe? Or?
He just signed a contract. And Bob Taylor, he buys blue drinks, so I don't really know. I don't want his money. All right. With that, here's some excerpts today from the press conference of head football coach James Franklin.
James, it looked like on KJ's winning touchdown, you're able to catch Michigan with some tempo after getting a first down. Coach Harbaugh said they weren't able to get their signal in before the snap. What all goes into picking your spots with your pace like that, and have you been able to use it as much as you'd like so far?
Yeah, we want to mix tempo in. I think that's one of the things I think we can do better. There is times where we try to go tempo, and because we don't do it all the time, our line is trying to look at their front and get comfortable with that before they get set. So it's one of those deals where if you're tempo all the time and you're going fast, your players get used to that. But being able to turn it on and off is, I think, really the most valuable way to do it. But it's hard to train it because it's different. You know, so I think we can be better there. I think that was a really good example of how your tempo can be a weapon for you. Again, when you look at the tape, they did get the signal in, but we were able to go execute. Obviously, being on the road causes some challenges as well and things like that. But we were able to execute at a high level and put one of our playmakers in position to make a play.
Mark Wilgenrich, Allentown Morning Call.
James, how are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Appreciate it. Good. Where would you like to be more consistent offensively?
Yeah, I think consistency is about everything. It's about our run game. It's about our protection. It's about hitting the throws that we should hit consistently. It's all of it. It's third down. We've missed some opportunities. It's explosive plays. But we played a defense this past week. That's who they are. If you look over the last, I don't know how many years, that's who they are. It's big plays against them. And if you're able to hit your big plays, you're going to have success. I think, in the years that I look at them, I think Wisconsin's really the only team that's been able to line up and consistently, run the ball and have success. There hasn't really been too many people that have been able to do that over the last number of years. Even the Ohio State game was a bunch of big plays.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record.
Hi, James. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Real good. Your receivers, beyond KJ and Dotson, you haven't had a whole lot of production and catches, at least, from any of the other guys so far. Is that a problem at all or not?
Well, I think part of it is we're rotating two guys at that one position, and part of it is like I mentioned before, when one of those guys has missed two games, but again, it's the opportunities that present themselves, and when a team is a press team at the line of scrimmage, they're going to take some of the free access throws away. That's going to create some different type of opportunities, in our slots and with our tight ends and things like that. So there's going to be weeks where those guys have a bunch of production. There's going to be weeks where they don't, just depending on what the defense does. Obviously, in a perfect world, we would love to have everybody involved. But again, you know, the most important thing for us is we want to be 1-0 at the end of the week, which we were this past week.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hi, James.
Hey, Joe.
Penalties. You guys averaged 3 penalties in each of the first 3 games, but you've averaged 6 in each of the next 4, and you're averaging more than 10 yards a penalty. Why is that? Do you feel it's probably a case of too much aggressiveness, or what is your message to the guys in penalties?
Yeah, I think there's penalties that are avoidable, and those should never happen, ever. They're unacceptable. But then there's aggressive penalties that are going to happen through a game. You don't want them to happen, but they're going to happen. But the thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to come in here and after a game talk about penalties and the impact that they had on a game. You know, we've done that the last couple of weeks, a bunch of questions about officiating. The officials have a very tough job to do. Each week there's going to be calls that our opponent doesn't like, and there's going to be calls that we don't like. I'm going to handle it through the process that the Big Ten has to be able to communicate, one-on-one, and to be able to send plays in and try to learn and try to grow and try to coach my team and control the things that I can control. But I'm not going to come into a press conference. I haven't really done that in 6 years. And I'm going to try to avoid doing that and be respectful of the process and be respectful of the officials. But also, I think it sends the wrong message to my team. I'm not going to come in after a game and talk about calls or officials.
Mike Gross, Lancaster Newspapers.
Good afternoon, James.
Hey, Mike.
Sean Clifford was talking with us earlier, and he talked about trying to figure out what kind of quarterback he wants to be and how much emotion to show. He's excitable, but how much emotion to show and when to pull it back a little bit. And I noticed on the other side of the ball, Micah seems like he's becoming more of a, motioning and moving guys around and stuff like that. How much of that do you coach, and how much of that has to sort of naturally evolve where you match a guy's personality with his role on the team?
I didn't understand what you said about Micah. What is he doing?
It looks like Micah is being more, leading people, directing people around and stuff like that, and just being more verbal on the field.
Okay. I didn't know if those were tied together, the emotion or the directing. I guess that's what I'm trying to understand, is it?
Well, that might be a flaw in my question, James, frankly. But
I'm sorry. I thought they were tied together, but then they didn't seem to be. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I didn't understand, honestly.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I guess the first thing is, I think that's part of being a young player. And obviously it's magnified at the quarterback position, Sean, over time, finding out what works best for him. Is it being emotional? Some guys have done it that way. Is it not showing a whole lot of emotion? Probably more have done it that way. And then I think there's kind of like a happy medium, you know, with those two things. And I think that's what playing and having these experiences do for you. And I think myself and Coach Ronnie, that's our roles as well, to kind of help him with that. I think there has been some games where he's been jacked up and juiced up, and I don't know if that's completely served him well at times. But overall, I'm really pleased, with Sean. I really am. He's been really good. I see him growing every game. I see him growing every practice. I know how important it is to him. Most importantly, you got to be authentic. You got to be authentic as a coach. You got to be authentic as a player. And most importantly, you got to be authentic as a leader. And I think he's doing that. But I think him finding his sweet spot as a starting quarterback in the Big Ten and one of the leaders on our team, I think he's going to be evolving. He's going to learn something every game, and that's learn something in terms of reading defenses. That's learning something in how he interacts with Coach Ronnie. That's with me. That's with his teammates. And that's with what's the most effective leadership style as well. And, you know, and he's a very aware young man. So I think he's studying all those things. So I'm pleased with him. When it comes to Micah, in the separate question that you asked, just kidding again. Yeah, I think he's getting more comfortable and more confident, you know, every day. And taking more control. You know, I think the exciting thing for us and for Micah is I think he's got a lot of room for growth. I'm saying that after he had, 14 tackles. And I think fundamentally he can get a lot better. You know, I think in terms of commanding the defense and leadership, he can get a lot better. You know, he is nowhere near his ceiling. You know, he really isn't. And he's improved dramatically. But the exciting thing is there's a lot more left in the tank in between Coach Pry and myself and the rest of the defensive coaches and the strength coaches and some of the older guys like Jan Johnson and things like that. You know, everybody's helping Micah. And to be honest with you, we're learning from Micah too. There's nobody that has more fun at meetings, and there's nobody that has more fun on the practice field, and maybe in life than Micah Parsons. He has a good time, I'm telling you, and he's gotten really a lot better over the last year of knowing, you know, there's a time and place for everything, which I think is a critical aspect for young players and a critical aspect for a team, that we can know when it's time to have fun and know when it's time to enjoy ourselves. Excuse me, know when it's time to work and know when it's time to have some fun.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune.
How you doing, James?
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, you mentioned a few times the last couple of weeks the offensive line has been getting tougher, grinding out games against some of the tougher defensive fronts in the country. How have you seen that attitude develop this season, and how much does the depth you're able to use there now contribute to that?
I didn't hear that last part, I'm sorry.
I said, how much does the depth you're able to use there now contribute to that?
Yeah, I think that we're playing more guys, I think, helps us, you know, keep guys fresh. You know, Dez gaining experience, you know, the rotation with Miranda and CJ and you know, kind of different styles, I think that helps. I think the expanded diversity in our running game, you know, over the last 2 years and a little bit more this year, I think that's helped us. I think, you know, the different running backs that we have, I think, helps us. I think obviously having a quarterback that can still, you know, do some things with his legs as well. I think it's all those things. And obviously, you know, the biggest credit goes to our offensive line and Coach Limegrover and Coach Ryan Reiner, excuse me. And you know, even Tyler Bowen, you know, factor in there as well. It's all of it. Most importantly, it's you know, the guys. You know, when you got guys like, you know, Gonzo, and you got guys like Mennett, you know, and you got guys like Fries that have played a lot of football for you. You know, and them taking those other guys under their wing. I think that's been a big part of it as well. So, you know, very, very pleased, you know, with that group overall, but we still got work to do. You know, obviously, you know, Michigan has got a real good front. You know, I know our defensive line felt like Michigan's interior three were the best that we've seen all year long, the guard and centers. And that's going to be how it's going to be all season. We're going to have another challenge this week. I mean, their defensive line and linebackers at Michigan State are really good, and they've been that way for a while.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, Corey.
James, we've asked you a lot of questions over the weeks about Noah Kane and his usage. Your answer has pretty much always been consistent that you have four backs that you like. I'm just curious, Is there something that we're missing? Are we not asking the questions the right way? Because we all keep wondering, well, you use Noah in these in-game situations, and he's been effective, but then he only has five carries. So I'm just curious, what is it that we're not seeing? Why is there a disconnect that we keep asking why he's not getting more usage, but we're not really getting, you know, any more information?
First of all, I want to say thank you. I think that's a very fair question, and I appreciate how you how you asked it. Yeah, there's always things that you guys are missing, and that's no disrespect to you guys, but we're out at practice and in meetings for 16-plus hours a day, and out at practice and watching everything, and you guys get 20 minutes a week to watch practice and then just the games. There's a thousand points that go into decision-making. But we got four backs that we really like, and we'll continue to play those guys. We're very pleased with Noah. Actually had dinner with Noah last night. My wife was busting his chops. He's been great. You know, he's been really good. We're as pleased with him as you guys are, and we're as pleased with him as the fans are as well. But we're also have a lot of confidence in those three other guys as well. So I get it. I get the question. I think there's a lot of ways that you guys see us with young players, a lot like Micah Parsons, who never started a game last year. Obviously, the difference is Micah, you know, played starter reps, but we didn't have four guys at that position. So, you know, we're 1-0. We got, you know, we found a way to get a win last week against one of the more talented rosters in the country. You know, against a really good football program. And Noah had a big part in that and will continue to have a big part in that. I think you're going to see his role grow as the season goes on, or you're going to see another back, you know, take some steps as well. We'll see.
That is head football coach James Franklin. Excellent question by Corey Geiger there at the end of that. And next half hour, we'll get the Michigan State viewpoint on what they've done to this point. With Will Thiemann. Will's the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball and also works as their third announcer on the Football Network. George Blaho does the Detroit Pistons as their football play-by-play guy and has been for a long time. So we'll come back in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors and News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, next half hour, Will Thiemann from the Michigan State Network will join us and get you ready for the game on Saturday, which will take place at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing. So that's what's coming up. That's the next one. And then after that, it'll be a bye week. And tomorrow, Neil Kulong will join us on the show to talk about the Steelers, who have their second straight bye week. They've got the Dolphins. You see, the Dolphins have been outscored by 148 points. Six games have been outscored by 148 points. Hey, think about that. That means they're a minus 24.5 points a game. Wow. No offense, that's not good. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Cube, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. on News Radio 1070 WKOK.